So last week, we started looking at this idea that you're not that messed up. And what we saw last week is that oftentimes there's labels that get associated with us or get placed on us because of something that happens. And what we saw is that it's God's desire that those labels not remain, and that God wants to help us change our label or change the name that gets associated with us. Maybe it's something that we earned. Maybe we did something and the label makes sense. Or maybe there's something, somebody else did something to us. Maybe it was cruel or whatever. And now all of a sudden we're trapped by the label that seems to get dumped on us and this mess that's created. And God wants us to be freed from that. If you missed last week, I would encourage you to jump online and take a listen and be a part of it that way. This morning, what I want us to do is begin to look at how do we move towards the place of forgiving others? How do we begin to forgive those people that have damaged us? Somebody that's hurt us, somebody that's caused us pain, somebody that's created such a mess in our life that we're aware that they've cheated us of joy. Because of what they've done, they've stolen fulfillment. There's freedom that we no longer have because of something somebody else did. Quick show of hands. Raise your hand if somebody has ever hurt you. Somebody's ever hurt you. Okay, now keep your hand up if you've ever had trouble forgiving somebody. Okay, so those of you that dropped your hand, there wasn't many, you can leave because we don't like you. We get hurt. We get hurt. We get damaged by people. And sometimes we get hurt from just something small. And it could just be like a misunderstanding or just miscommunication where somebody says a word and just the way the word was spoken, maybe the tone that they used or that we used or the moment that the word was used or the setting, whatever it would be, all of a sudden this deep wedge gets driven in just by a word. And all of a sudden, two people begin to be pushed apart. This wedge drives in deep, and all of a sudden, they move apart. And for years, hurt can exist from a word. Other times, the damage comes from somebody that's just literally cruel and vicious. Somebody that just has all sorts of intention to cause damage. There's no intent for preservation. It's all about, I'm going to tear you down. I'm going to take you out. You are going to hurt. And there's no plan to stop. It's just, boom, we're going to bring it. And I'm aware, wherever you fall in that, I know that as we start to talk about forgiveness and as we start to talk about forgiving somebody that's hurt us, there's some of us in this room and we are freaking out inside because we don't want to go there. We know that it's going to be a difficult process. And so let me just encourage you, stick with this throughout the morning and just begin to walk through this as we go. There's others of us in this room, we've experienced legitimate, deep pain. But somehow we figured out how to take that pain and take that, and we just sort of pressed it down, and we've just managed to bury it, and we've pushed it way down deep so far that it doesn't complicate our life. We pretty much figured out how to manage it. And so for the most part, we've taken care of it. But then every now and then something happens, and we're not really planning on it, but we do something. All of a sudden, when we least expect it, all of a sudden the pain surfaces back. It just rises up, and all of a sudden we just explode and just wherever you're at. Don't tune this out. Don't be like, I don't need this. Pay attention. Because what I want to give you, I want to give you some reasons why we need to forgive. And then we'll talk about how to forgive. Jesus gave us some just critical words in Book of Mark. Book of Mark's about 3/4 of the way into your Bible. The passages will be on the screen as well as in your message notes. But this is what Jesus said in the Book of Mark. He said, "And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive him, so that your Father in heaven may forgive your sins." And so we might hear that. We might hear that God wants to forgive us. And we hear, understand this, your ceiling to forgiving or your ceiling to being forgiven is based on how much you're willing to forgive. So let's assume that there's a door in our life, and that door is the only way in which forgiveness can come into our life. But that door has one handle, and the handle is on our side. And until you and I are willing to grab that handle, turn it, and open the door, forgiveness can't come in because we're not letting it out. And to the level that you and I will turn that handle and begin to open the door will determine how much forgiveness can come back in as well. So in just a moment, I'm going to challenge you to start to think about something that's going to be not very easy. Who has hurt you? And how did they hurt you? And as we discuss this, there's a chance that the pain is going to rise to the surface and the damage is, you're going to start to feel it. And the tendency will be, as you start to feel that, is to go, yeah, wait, you don't know. You have no idea, Mr. Preacher Boy, what I've gone through. You don't know what the reality is that I've had to face. You could have been abused by somebody that you should have been able to trust. Maybe somebody lied about you and that lie has now become your reality. Maybe some innocence of yours was stolen and taken and it's messed up your future. Maybe somebody hurt somebody else, but you cared and loved that other person, or you care and love. If you hurt my kids, I'm coming after you, right? I mean, you can hurt me and I'm going to try and get over. You hurt my kids, you're on my hit list. You better watch out. So maybe somebody hurt somebody that you care about. And so our tendency, when we begin to hear this idea of forgiveness, is we start to push back. We're like, whoa, you don't know my pain. You have no idea how hard it is for me to forgive what's been done to me. I would say you're half right. You're half right. I don't know your pain. I haven't experienced what you've gone through. I've gone through my own pain, right? And I'll tell you about it a little bit here in a second. And I know that it's hard to forgive. I recognize that. Here's what I know even more than that. I know what happens to me when I don't forgive. And I know what I lose out on when I hold on to it. So my pain, not the same as your pain. But I think all of us, we all raised our hand. We all recognize how difficult it can be and how valuable it can be if we could learn to forgive. So your answer, maybe it already has come to your mind. Maybe you already know who it is. Maybe you need to spend some time later and identify it. But who has hurt you and how did they hurt you? Who has hurt you and how did they hurt you? And my hope is that as you identify that and as we talk through this morning, that hurt and that damage, that you'll begin to process how you can become free of that, to not allow the mess that's been created because somebody else did something to you. They've essentially put you in sort of a prison of pain. How do you get beyond that and forgive them? How do you take that next step? How do you begin to walk through that? How do we begin to forgive and move to that next step? Because sometimes, even after we've forgiven somebody, we're like, okay, I got this. Sometimes the damage is so deep and so hard that betrayal is just is right there. Every now and then we think we've got a handle, and all of a sudden it starts to creep back up. And all of a sudden I'm like, I thought I had it. About 6 years ago, I had some friends, and I'll try not to get too specific because some of you may actually know them, but had some friends, and we decided that we were going to walk alongside each other through a very difficult process. We talked about it. We encouraged each other. We said, this is the right step. This is the thing we need to go through. It's going to be a very difficult situation. It will not be easy. But what we said is we knew that if we went through it together, that if we could get through it on the other side, there would be a better reality. It's not going to be easy. We'll stick through this. So we jumped in. We're going for it. And then partway through the situation, right at the beginning, essentially, right after we get the ball rolling, they bail. Walked away. Left me to stay and deal with the situation that was created. Didn't help that basically later that week, after they bailed, I stepped into probably the most difficult medical situation of my life. I was diagnosed with cancer later that week. Today, fine, the cancer's all gone, but pretty rough week. I was pretty convinced that I would never be able to forgive them. And there are days where I've eventually worked to it, and I'll talk to you more about it. Like, I've forgiven them, but there are days where something happens, where something pops up, where all of a sudden I can feel that betrayal starting to rise again. I can feel myself starting to get angry again. And I have to walk myself through the process again of forgiving. Recognizing I don't want the mess that they created for me. I don't want the pain that they developed in my life. I don't want that to hold me back. I want to figure out how to forgive them, how to move beyond the pain. So for you, determine where is it and who is it? Where did the pain come from? Maybe it's a business partner that deceived you. Maybe you had a parent that didn't protect you. Maybe you had an employee that stole from you, or a spouse that ignores you. Maybe you have a friend that's taken advantage of you. Maybe you had a pastor that didn't do or didn't respond the way you thought they should respond. Maybe you have a neighbor and they just haven't respected your property. Maybe you're angry at God. Maybe you needed God to do something or to stop someone or jump into a situation in some way and God didn't do it. And now you're angry at God and you haven't forgiven him. Because when we begin to identify that and we begin to see what it is, we begin to see the mess that's been created in our life, now we can begin to process through it. Now we can begin to work through it. And maybe what they've done, maybe it hasn't made our entire life a mess, but there's a part of it where that pain exists. And because of that pain, because of that hurt, now we know that we aren't fully living. We aren't fully knowing who God is. We're not completely true to who we are because of that pain that's there. And so we have to figure out, what do we do with that? How do we move past that? And if we're going to begin to move past that, the first thing we have to answer, the first question we have to answer is this: why should I forgive? Why should I even do this? Because our tendency is to hold on to it. We want to hold on to it and not forgive, because when we choose to not forgive, it puts us in the place of power over the offender. You wrong me, I'm not going to let you off the hook. Now I rule over you. As well as, if I hold on to my pain, now I get to identify with it. This is me. We don't like it, but we get to identify with it. And now we get to say, this is me. And at times we can start to take that hurt and it becomes entitlement. Like, yeah, I get to be self-focused and self-absorbed. I've been damaged. And now we can start to demand of other people because we hold on to it. And we're like, yeah, this not forgiving thing gives me a little bit of an upper hand. It feels like we get to play God because now we're the one calling the shots. But understand this: if we hold on to the power of not forgiving, it is a power that will kill us. It is a power that will literally destroy you. So the very first reason that we need to forgive is this, is because forgiveness or unforgiveness hurts me, or unforgiveness hurts you. Because someone's done something, something's happened where you've been hurt, where you've been damaged, and if you choose to just hold on to that pain, just hold on to that hurt, what you're essentially doing is you're allowing that to continue to cause destruction and pain again and again and again because you're not letting it go. And the Bible explains it this way. In Hebrews, it says this: look after each other so that look after each other so that none of you fails to receive the grace of God. Watch out that no poisonous root of bitterness grows up to trouble you, corrupting many. None of you are shocked. You've all taken basic, like, biology, right? Where there's, like, trees and then they have roots and there's trees. None of us are shocked to hear that roots, like, pull up nourishment from the ground and then that helps the tree to grow and all that kind of stuff. When you and I hold on to a grudge, when you and I don't forgive, when there's pain and there's hatred and it just sits under the surface, essentially it's a bitter root that we just continue to draw off of. It's just below the surface. You can't really see it, but we just continue to pull off of it. And it's just this poison that we're drawing into who we are. And it just begins to eat us up inside when we don't let it go. Maybe we even think we've learned, we've managed it, we got it under control, it's not there. But even if we just pushed it down, it's still slowly destroying us if we haven't figured out how to move beyond it. Are any of you surprised by the fact that Angry Birds is such a big hit? Anybody surprised? It's fun, right? It's pretty fun. It's silly, right? It's easy to play, and it's a buck, right? Is it still a buck? No, it's more than a buck? It's maybe free. He knows how to steal it. I don't know. Aren't you on the board? No, I'm kidding. You are on the board. I didn't say steal it. Sorry. Anyway, okay, Angry Birds, great game, fun. It's silly and all. The storyline of Angry Birds fits this exactly, right? So there's these birds, right? And they've been hurt because the pigs have stolen their eggs. Am I right so far? Which is understandable that they would be angry, right? If somebody steals your eggs, it's understandable. They'd be maybe mad about the eggs, right? So the problem is the solution that the birds have decided to take makes no sense, right? What's the answer? They're going to put themselves in a slingshot and then get flung through the air, which right away we've got a problem. They're birds. They don't need to get flung through the air, right? I mean, they just fly up and then attack. Oh, the slingshot. If it was Angry Turtles, makes more sense. But it's not. It's birds. Okay, so we got birds that are flying through the air. So their solution, right? Launch themselves through the air. And what are they trying to do? They're trying to slam their bodies into pig shelters made out of wood and concrete and steel. And they're going to smash the shelter, and then they're going to kill the pig, right? That's the goal. What happens when they hit the shelter or they go bouncing into the ground and completely miss it? Poof, right? They just explode. Essentially, their anger, whether they hit the pigs or they don't hit the pigs, whether they cause any damage or don't cause any damage, every single time, they die. Every single time. Shoot through the air. Boop, 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 poof. And if you happen to kill the pigs, poof, what happens to the other guys that are just hanging out there that are angry that didn't even get to get shot? Poof, poof, they all die. This is not good at all. It's not easy to forgive someone. We want to hold on to it. Even when they steal something, like if they take your eggs, right? You're like, It makes sense to get ticked when somebody takes something that we care about. But if you and I don't figure out how to forgive, this poisonous root begins to grow up inside of us. And all of a sudden, as this anger begins to grow inside of us, all of a sudden we find ourselves doing something ridiculous, like climbing into a slingshot, right? Or standing out in the front yard yelling at our neighbor because they've done something like their dog pooped in our yard. I don't even know what it would be, right? Or we're punching holes in walls, or we're putting nasty posts on Facebook, or we're ignoring people. And we start to look at it and you're like, that makes no sense. It makes as much sense as flying through the air trying to crush a shelter that's only going to lead to destroy you. It's not worth it. Whatever the result of, it's not worth it. Because you will destroy yourself in the entire process of getting back at them. The other reason that we need to forgive is this, is because all need forgiveness again. This will not be a shock to those of you that know me. I am not perfect. And so, like, I continually say things that hurt people. I say dumb things, and I cause damage, and I act selfishly, and I create pain in other people's lives. Not intentionally, it happens. And so I have to be forgiven again, and then I need to be forgiven again. This is what Jesus said. He said, if you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. Understand that part of this idea of understanding forgiveness and what it means to be forgiven is beginning to realize what it is that God is offering to us and beginning to see the equality or what that all equals out to be. So I have three kids, and when we buy our kids toys or we get them new shoes, I've noticed they don't take care of them nearly as well as when they save up their own pennies and buy, you know, like dollars and then buy their own shoes or their own toy. They take way better care of it when they paid for them themselves, right? Because they know the cost. They understand the sacrifice. They see the value in buying that item. So when we begin to forgive, when we begin to say, I'm going to forgive you, now all of a sudden we see the value of that and we begin to be forgiven and we see the how that all plays out because now I forgive you. So now as I begin to receive God's forgiveness, I see how that works and I need to be forgiven again, so I need to forgive you again. Jesus tends to say things over and over and over again. And what I've discovered is when Jesus says things over and over and over again, there's two things in play. First thing in play, Jesus thinks it's important. Second thing in play is that Jesus thinks we're slow because he just has to say it again and again. I don't know where you're at. But anyway, so there's this story where there's this king, and the king basically goes out and he finds this servant that owes him a ton of money. So this is just a guy that works for him, and the king goes out to him and says, listen, you owe me a lot of money. You've been working for me. You need to pay this back. And the biblical scholars have tried to figure out just how much did this guy owe. And basically, the debate is that he probably owed somewhere in the range of $2 million and $2 billion based on today's economy. That's how $2 million or $2 billion in debt. This guy makes like $40,000 a year, so it doesn't really matter, million or billion. He's not paying this thing back. He's never getting over there. So basically, the king comes to him and is like, hey, I'm going to throw you in jail, or you pay me. Or you can I'm going to throw you in jail, and then you're just going to work it off until it's all done. And the guy's like, I'll never get that done. Listen, please, just, I'll never be able to pay you off. You know I make $40,000 a year. You pay me, I'm never going to get $2 million. Never $2 billion, right? Just forgive me. Just let the debt go. Please, 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 please. And the king eventually says, okay, you're forgiven. No more debt. Go ahead. That servant turns around, heads back to his own neighborhood, walks into where he lives, goes and tracks down another servant that owes him $200. Goes up to the guy and says, listen, if you don't pay me the $200 right now, I'm going to throw you in jail. Pay me right now. And the other servant's like, I don't have $200. You know how much I make. And he's like, listen, if you don't pay me right now, I'll throw you in jail. And the other guy's like, please, just would you forgive the debt? I can't pay you. I can't. I'll work. I'll try. And he's like, nope, you can't pay me right now. You're going to jail. So this guy that just got off the hook for $2 billion is now holding this other guy accountable. Doesn't take very long for the king to hear what's going on. Here's how it plays out. So the king called in the man who he had forgiven and said, you evil servant, I forgave you that tremendous debt because you pleaded with me. Shouldn't you have mercy on your fellow servant just as I had mercy on you? Then the angry king sent the man to prison to be tortured until he had paid his entire debt. That's what my heavenly Father will do to you if you refuse to forgive your brothers and sisters from your heart. I hear that, and that seems a little bit weird that that would be God's response when you and I don't forgive. That he'd get mad at us? He's gonna get so ticked that he's gonna actually, the king has the guy tortured. When we don't recognize that God has the choice to do that, essentially what we're saying is that God's like this big dumb idiot that we get to treat like a punching bag and do whatever we want to do with him. Because here's the deal. God's desire and willingness to forgive you doesn't stop with you. When we ask for forgiveness, don't forget that God's desire and willingness to forgive you extends and is matched to other people that are asking for forgiveness. Even the people that have wronged you. The person that needs you to forgive them is in the exact same position with God as you and I are with God. They need his forgiveness like you need his forgiveness. And we get there again and again and again. And one of the best ways for you and I to understand God's actions or the way that God responds to us is through our interactions with one another, through human interaction. I understood God's love for me more than I ever did when my oldest son was born. That kid did nothing for me. Literally, all he did was make messes, right? He pooped all over the place. He puked all over the place. I mean, we'd give him stuff and he'd just give it back in a mess. Like, it was terrible, right? But, like, we loved him. He did nothing for us. I experienced God's love that way more than ever. There's been times that people have been generous to me. They don't owe me anything, and yet they've extended and been generous. And God's willingness to provide and be generous, I see that more when people extend that to me. Same thing with forgiveness. When someone forgives me, when somebody says, you know what, Brent, you hurt me. You've made a mess in my life, but they make the choice to say, you know what, I'm not going to hold it against you anymore. I'm going to let you off the hook on this. When they're willing to do that, that's when I begin to understand and recognize and know God's forgiveness. That's when I begin to realize what God offers me. So understand, God gets ticked. God gets frustrated when you and I hold forgiveness, because what we're doing is we're causing somebody else to miss out on one of the attributes and characteristics of God. Because he's going to forgive them even if you and I choose not to. But our unwillingness to forgive will cause them to miss out on knowing God's forgiveness. I would get really, really mad at you if I told you what I was going to give my son for his birthday. And if you went up to him and said, hey, by the way, Cade, tomorrow your dad's going to give you blah, 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 before I had a chance to give him blah, 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 whatever it would be, right? I still have the present wrapped up in the box or what? You've just stolen a huge piece of the gift. I'm still going to give it to him, but you've eliminated part of it because you stole part of it. So what happens with forgiveness is the same thing. We steal a part of God's gift of him extending forgiveness to somebody else. When we hold it back, they don't get to experience it all. And God's like, don't do that. You're stealing what I want to give away. When we forgive, it allows somebody else to experience it. And you and I need forgiveness again and again, and those around us need forgiveness again and again. My hope is, at this point, you might see the reasons why we forgive. May not like them, may not want to forgive, but at least you see why. So that brings us to the next question, which is this. How can I forgive someone who hurt me? And we're not talking about the person that cut you off in traffic or what. I mean, like, how do you forgive the person that just really causes damage? Like, the individual that has made a mess of your life and cost you a ton. Maybe they've cost you relationships or opportunities or freedom or future or joy. How do you forgive the person that doesn't deserve it? How do you forgive the person that will maybe never ask for it? How do you forgive when you have no desire? You have no idea even how you're going to forgive it. How do we get to that point where we even begin to consider that it's a possibility that would move there? First step, if we want to forgive somebody that hurts us, is that we need to begin to pray for those who hurt you. Which sounds to me like a terrible idea. Ridiculous. I'm like, no, really? And you might be the same way. You might be like, that's a terrible idea. And honestly, if you think it's a terrible idea, I'm not offended at all, because it's not my idea. It's Jesus's. So you got to take it up with him, because here's what he says. If you don't like it, deal with Jesus. Matthew 5, he says this. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. And right there, I'm like, yes, I'm with you, Jesus. This is making sense. And the people that Jesus were talking to right here, they're like, yeah, I see the truth in that statement. That's good. Right there. Because They were the Jews were overseen by Romans. The Romans were ruling the area, and basically the Romans, they had a god of revenge. Yeah, that's a good thing, right? You got a god of revenge. That means if somebody hurts you, go hurt them. Pay them back, right? Stick it to them, hurt them. Like, we got a god that takes care of this, so we go get them. So that's the Romans. And then you got on the Jewish side of things, you got this eye for an eye principle, and they've been living on this for generations. So somebody takes something from you, take something from them. They hurt you, hurt them. Whatever, equal. Just, you know, keep it equal. So the people that are hearing this right here, when Jesus is saying, hey, love your neighbor and hate your enemy, they're like, yeah, I like this Jesus guy. Does he have a Twitter account? Because I'm going to follow him. Right, Facebook? I'm going to like those statuses. This guy is on to it, right? So they're like, yay. And then Jesus keeps talking and all goes out the window. He says, but I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. What? What? Love them? Pray for them? That seems backwards. Naturally, I don't want to do that at all. I don't like forgiving. It's not what I want to do. Remember the friends I was talking about, mentioned them earlier, you know, the ones that left me, emotionally beat me up and destroyed me? Remember that story? I really want to carry a grudge. I really want to figure out how to mess them up. I have no desire, had no desire to forgive them, no plan to forgive them, but I knew that I needed to. So I started praying for them. And at first when I prayed for them, like I prayed that they would get diarrhea. Or maybe that like their cat would lose all of its hair in their bed, or like their tub would overflow. Like I prayed for that kind of stuff at first. But then eventually I started praying that God would bless them. And that God would allow their family to become stronger, and that they would begin to find joy, and they'd begin to find new friendships. I didn't want to. I had no desire. But at first, I'm like, I got to just do this. I got to start praying for them. And oftentimes, the right action, the thing that we need to do, we just have to start taking the right actions before the motives or the desire is even there. Because when we begin to take the right actions, over time, our desires and our motives will begin to follow them. It's pretty much like eating vegetables, right? Like, nobody actually likes vegetables at first, right? We just know they're good, and we hear that they're healthy, and we're like, yeah, I need them, right? Really, you don't know that no vegetable actually tastes good. None of them. But if you choose to eat the right thing long enough, all of a sudden, carrots taste great. Zucchini, never intended to taste good. But if you eat it and you put enough stuff on it, right, eventually you're like, one day you wake up and you're like, I'm craving zucchini. That's not natural. Like, it's not. But if you do the right thing long enough, your motives begin to follow. And the more that I prayed for my friends, the more I began to say, you know what? I need to care about these people. Suddenly, now I'm telling you this story, and I'm referring to them as my friends. It was more like Satan for a while. Like, I did not like these people. But I began to pray for them. God eventually brought me to the point where I can still call them friends. I've forgiven them, and I began to see their side of things. Praying for them allowed me to move from a place where they were my enemies that persecuted me to seeing them as people that God loved, that he cared about, that he wanted to provide joy in their life. Didn't happen overnight. But one day I woke up after praying for them for a while, and I started to think, you know what, God? Do something in their life. God, give me the ability to truly forgive them. And there are times we run into each other and it starts to resurface. Or something happens and I'm like, oh, that's right. And every time it starts to creep back up, the very first thing that I have to do to put an end to it is pray for them. And it just begins to put me in the right mental attitude and approach to them. Second step to forgiving is this, when we want to forgive somebody that hurts us, is to forgive as you've been forgiven. I did not realize this or think this through until this week, how these two stories go hand in hand. 13 years ago, I was a youth pastor in Salem, Oregon, and I developed this friendship with my lead pastor, the guy that was in charge, and we were pretty tight, and his name was Gordon, and Gordon believed in me, Like, he's like, yeah, this guy, he can do it. This is good. And I was hired on, like, part-time, and Gordon fought for it and pushed, and eventually they hired me on full-time, and it was working. And, like, Gordon, he would knock down barriers, or if there were things that I thought I should do or go, he's like, let me take care of that. We'll make this work. There were grumpy people that would come and complain about me, and Gordon would just, like, defend me in front of the grumpy people. And, you know, now we've got grumpy people. They come and they complain to me about me, which just doesn't really work, so don't, you know. So... But Gordon knew what I needed. He saw something in me. And so we grew together and we were tight. And eventually we started talking about, where does this church need to go? What can this church become? And so we decided, you know what? We're going to make a tough decision. We're going to go through some, we're going to do some things that are not going to be easy, but we're going to go through these together. It wasn't long after that that God said, hey, Brent, it's time to leave Salem. You're going to go to Seattle. Gordon could have easily felt betrayed. Easily, he could have just said, you know what, you're bailing on me. I'm going to hold a grudge against you. He could have easily been hurt and said, you know what, you're not staying. You're not my friend. It was hard for him. It was painful for him. We had decided to step into some things together, and then I left. Never once did Gordon ever say, you know what, you're going to have to pay me back. Man, you owe me big time. He was like, I'm so excited for you. If that's what God's calling you to do, I want to see what's next in your life. I want to watch this thing. And there have been times where I need some advice and I'm struggling and I'll call Gordon. I'm like, hey, what do I do with this? You know, and he's like, yeah, you're in trouble. But but always gracious, always offering wisdom, always like, yeah, I wouldn't have done that. But he's like, and he would just give me exactly what I needed in that process and pour into me. The book of Colossians says this. It says, make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. And we mess up all the time. I have faults. You have faults. We're going to hurt each other. We're going to mess things up in each other's lives. I spend a lot of time thinking about what I'm going to say on a Sunday morning. Right? I don't just get up here and wing it. And honestly, I'm trying hard not to offend people. But most of you, at some point, I'm going to offend you. And if I haven't offended you yet, this is probably like your first week. Right? I mean, in time, I'll probably ask the person next to you. There's a good chance by the end of April, you will be offended if you stick around very long. I'm not trying to hurt people. It just happens. This human side of me takes over, and I deviate from my notes, or I try and freelance and get funny, and then all of a sudden I just stick my finger in somebody's eye, and like, I need you to make allowances for my faults. You can be grumpy sometimes. And you come and complain about things that you don't like. And just so you know, if you come and complain to a pastor and say, hey, listen, don't take this personal. And then you attack the church, I'm going to take it personal. Okay? The church takes on the personality of a pastor after about 4 years. We're there, right? So if you come and you don't like something that Elizabeth and I have done, like, we're invested in this thing. So you're welcome to come and talk to us. You're welcome. We're going to listen as best we can. We want to hear your concerns. We want to hear what it is. But understand, there's a good chance that you're going to hurt us. You are going to cause pain. We're open to the conversation, and I know that you're not intentionally trying to hurt us, but I'm going to have to make allowances because you may not say it right. The faults, if each of us can remember, man, I got faults, you've got faults, let's make allowances for one another. If we can begin to remember how I desire to be forgiven and you remember how you desire to be forgiven and we extend that to one another, suddenly our openness and our ability and willingness to forgive increases. Because we've all messed up. We've all got a mess. And if we can make room for each other to have some faults, if we can allow messes to be in each other's life and have an opportunity to clean them up, if collectively we can begin to recognize, you know what? We're not that messed up. If we can give each other a little bit of a chance to be restored and to move forward, the possibilities actually begin to exist. You and I can begin to find freedom in our pain that's been created either by ourselves or by other people if we can begin to forgive one another. Every week, put these connect cards in there, and I don't know where you're at as you think through this. My guess is thinking about forgiving somebody that's hurt you is not fun, right? I mean, this has not been a fun week for me to think through some of these things. My hope is that you're wondering, what's my next step? What am I going to do with this? Honestly, when you mark these, we spend time and pray for them as God is working in your heart and gives us a chance to be able to pray for you. So what is your next step going to be? What are you going to do with this? How do you respond? So maybe for you, your next step is this. is to realize that not forgiving isn't helping you. Maybe your next step is to identify what you've been forgiven of, but probably wasn't an easy decision for someone else to make to forgive you. Maybe your next step is, who do you need to start praying for so that one day you can forgive them? Maybe your next step is to determine the step you need to take this week that will begin the process of forgiving somebody that's wronged you. Don't just run from this. If there is something that God is doing in you or speaking to you, you don't have to get to the very end of it today. Just take that next step of the process that will begin to give you the ability to forgive. Who has God laid on your heart that you need to speak to or that you need to consider forgiving? Let's pray. God, thank you for your willingness to forgive us. God, would you help us to see the tremendous value if we can begin to forgive others? God, help us to see and want to forgive those that have hurt us so bad. God, help us to recognize it's just killing us to hang on to it. Help us this next week to just take whatever step it is next to begin that process. Thank you that you love us and you care enough about us to help us see the truth in this idea. In Jesus' name, amen.